You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I have an announcement. I really learned this about 3 minutes ago. The studio at Richland College is going to be closed starting Friday the 15th through the 27th of May. So I won't be giving a show for that period. It'll be a little vacation for me. I had planned to give shows, but apparently they're doing some maintenance and they're shutting down the studio to all students. So that's going to be out of the question. I might try a way to work around that, and we'll see if I can do it. But I just wanted to alert you, I might not be presenting a show until after Memorial Day. I believe it's the 27th, which is a Monday. And also, this show will be a short show because they are closing the studio because of the graduation ceremony tonight. So I have about 30 minutes to express some views. And I first want to add just one or two points that I should have mentioned, or at least anticipated, yesterday when I was going over the accident, the Amtrak accident that now has killed 8 people. They still have several other people that are in serious critical condition. So that death count, unfortunately, may even go up. And I need to emphasize the focus should be on the families and the people that were injured. Because when they boarded that train, they didn't anticipate that for some of them, it was their last day on Earth. And many of them were seriously injured. Now, many walked away. But when you get on a public transportation, and this is government transportation, you don't expect them to kill you. And that's exactly what happened. You get on a government train and they kill you. Now, I need to say something. I used to live in New York City, and when I went to college, I commuted from the Bronx to Washington Square almost every day, at least during the week, and at least many times on Saturdays, seldom on Sundays. So I have ridden probably the most successful public transit system, and that's the subway system of New York. Now, what most people don't realize, all those subways at one time were private subways. They were taken over by the government, and for many years, they went downhill. They went downhill. They were a mess. Now, that was eventually cleaned up, but it was literally a disgrace if you looked at all the graffiti. And I know it has changed. I haven't been back there in decades, and I have no plans to go back there. Because what I tell my friends, New York City is a wonderful city, but the only people that truly can live there are the very, very wealthy, which is going to be the subject of this show, or the very, very poor. Because the middle class can literally not afford it. What most people in the middle class have to do is commute every day. If they live on Long Island, they have to take the Long Island Railroad in. If they live in some of the other boroughs, Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, they have to take the subways in. And if they live in New Jersey, they have to take buses. And their accidents, whether it's the Long Island Railroad, the subways, or buses, they're going to be accidents. I'm not blaming the accidents on the government, but this is a government-run institution. And here's what you need to understand. When it's in the private sector, it's not in the interest of the private person running an enterprise to kill his customers. They want his customers to continue using and buying their services. And that's important to say. And the other is they don't really want to be sued. So it is in the self-interest of business owners to have customers that want their product and buy their product. And the most successful are those that cater to the masses. And that's another important point. You're always going to have a few firms catering to the very wealthy. And they're successful at it, but they have a very, very small market. The truly successful companies in this in the world, and I want you to think about it, that includes Microsoft, for example, are those that cater to the masses, mass consumption. That's why I was harping on consumer sovereignty. If you address the needs and wants of the American consumer or any consumer, you will be successful. Now, to the extent that you ignore them and think you know better, you may be right, but you may be wrong. And that's something to understand. There's a risk when you start a business. Usually invest your own money, your family's money. Many small business owners, including me, would use credit cards, borrow money. And some are successful, but many are not successful. And some are successful and then have a period of not being successful. I remember, and I won't say the name of the company, I won't even say the industry, but I had a client that was on the verge of closing his doors. And fortunately, he had one of his customers buy a big order, and that kept him in business long enough that he didn't have to file the papers. He literally had the papers for bankruptcy on his desk. And he told me the story. And he said that fortunately carried him through a rather recession, because he was in an industry when the economy is in a recession, people are just not buying in volume what he sells. His best years are when the economy was booming. And he's very, very, very successful today. He's no longer a client. I'm out of the financial services industry. But that's something that needs to be understood. Opening a business is a challenge. And most people will tell you it's probably one of the roughest things they have to do. Now, I'm not dismissing combat here, but what I'm trying to say is you're working to try to make it succeed, and it's more than a 24/7 type situation. And many of the people that do that could very easily be executives and earn larger dollars in the short run, but they choose to try to grow, to start and grow a business. And the few that really succeed big, you've heard of. But what who you've not heard of are the hundreds of thousands of businesses. Some make it okay, some simply fail for whatever reason. And sometimes it's his fault, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just what the economy is doing, and the demand is not there. And talk to any business, and they will tell you, cash is king. You got to manage your cash flow. Now, let me get back just for a minute and then move on to the Obama situation, because it really, what he said was rather offensive. And this is sort of a little background to it. If Amtrak was a private company, what do you think it would do? Well, I'll tell you what it would do. It would close down all the lines that are simply unprofitable. And that's a lot of railroads. Now, why? They're not making money on it. There's one strong area where they're making money and actually have profits, and that is where that wreck was on. That is the Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. corridor. And they run trains from each of those cities, but they still are subsidized and they're still profitable. Now, what happens? Many of their profits as well as subsidies go to where? The unprofitable lines. And that's my point. If this business was in the private sector, they would have closed down all of those unprofitable lines many, many, many years ago. Now, what's happening is, and this is almost a knee-jerk reaction, the Democratic Party, as well as some of their supporters in the news media, are going on and on and on that, oh, we need more infrastructure investment. In other words, we need government spending on infrastructure. There's a problem with that. This was an accident caused by an engineer that was running the train too fast. The initial reports are that to stay on the track safely, you had to be going around 50 miles an hour. And I'm sure there's some safety margin there. He probably would be going a little faster than that. But he was going more than twice that speed. And those are the initial findings. So it's not surprising at all that the cars went off the tracks. It wasn't an infrastructure problem. Those tracks are used. First of all, they're not owned. My understanding is they're not owned by Amtrak. They're owned by the railroads that run freight over it that are successful, and their prices have gone down, and they're making money. And Amtrak truly is making money, although they're subsidized. My point is this. Congress, and this is what annoys me about the Republican Party, the right thing to do would sell off Amtrak, shut it down. We don't have the money, period, to subsidize Amtrak. And that's what we've been doing for 44 years at a clip of $1 billion a year. It adds up, folks. We have a national debt of $18 trillion, and part of that debt is subsidies to Amtrak. The point I'm trying to make is government simply is usually, there are exceptions to all general rules, but as a general rule, businesses should not be run by the government. Because when they are, that's when you get corruption, that's when you get feather bedding, that's when you get sweetheart deals, if you will, and that's when you get losses. Because they're not accountable to their consumers, they're accountable to government officials and bureaucrats. So get government out of businesses and start with Amtrak. There's people in the private sector that would buy the Amtrak lines that go from Boston to Washington, and they'll make money at it. They'll make the service better. They might even lower the prices and no more subsidies. And who wins? Everybody wins. The taxpayer wins, and the consumers, the people that would use that rail line, would also win. They probably would get more service, and I think over time the prices would go down. Why? That railroad, the passenger trains, compete with cars as well as airliners. And that's good. Competition is what drives down prices, drives up quality, improves service, and also increases safety. And that's the lesson that you have to learn. It's not more and more government spending, and that's what the Democratic Party called for, even though it had nothing to do with infrastructure spending. Now, there's something else that needs to be said, and I haven't had real time to check it out, but I was listening to a so-called expert, and you always have to be cautious. But he was comparing the safety records of passenger trains, airlines, and automobiles. And he says most people are not aware that passenger trains are more dangerous than even cars. And cars are more dangerous than airlines. In other words, if you compare safety records and do a fair comparison, it's actually more dangerous or risky to travel by railroad as opposed to passenger car, or better yet, airlines. Now, they're all going to have accidents, and that's the point. You never can guarantee anything. There's always uncertainty, and people die and get injured in automobile accidents every day for a whole host of reasons. My point is this. We need to stop wasting money, taxpayer money, not government money, our money, your money, my money, on Amtrak. Now, I didn't say shut down Amtrak. I said disinvest. Have the government sell it off. And hopefully they would get some money for it and maybe retire some of the debt and let someone else in the private sector run the train. They'll run it a lot better than the government has, and it would stop these subsidies. But that's not what happened. What the House did, and I'm waiting to see what the Senate does, is they passed a bill to extend Amtrak for another 5 years. Hello? Have you looked at the national debt figures? You see, that's the problem. When you have larger government, you have more and more corruption. You see, the answer, if you want to reduce corruption, reduce the size of the government. As long as government is large, you're going to have people, economists call them rent seekers, going to Washington, hat in hand, trying to get subsidies or regulation changes or tax laws that favor them. Stop it. That's why, as a general principle, I am totally against any subsidies across the board. Stop it. Stop it. Because what that does is interferes. It's government interference, intervention in the pricing system of the market. And when you do that, you're going to get distortions. You're going to get information that is distorted. And as a result, you're going to get a misallocation of resources. And that's what we've had with Amtrak for the 44 years. The guy that, I forget his name, and I heard this in the news, the guy that wanted and is really the father of Amtrak, today says he wish he never recommended it. You see, the expectation was this was going to be profitable. The government would make money. It didn't work out that way. Why? A number of things change, and that's the nature of business. Several things change. What changed, for example? Well, we had the deregulation of the airline industry, point one. So fares dropped. They were expected to stay where they were, go up. Second is airlines became a lot more fuel efficient, and they had an interest in doing that because fuel is expensive. It's one of their major expenses. So what happened is the prices of their competitors, namely the airlines, went down. And that is one of the major competitors, some would say the competitor, with Amtrak. Now, for passenger cars, guess what happened? Yes, today our cars are a lot more fuel
efficient. They're not as safe, though. Well, you'll get a debate on that, and I might take that back. But they're a lot lighter, and if you ever get in an accident with a truck, yeah, you can get 30, 40 miles an hour, but when you're hit by a truck and you're in the car, your truck is going to run you over, and your chances of making it out are, I won't say slim and none, but you're going to be injured. So you can brag about the mileage going up, and there's a lot to be bragged about, but has the safety of the cars really been improved when you look at crashes? And I'm talking not in a lab, but on highways, because when you go on a highway, yeah, a lot of the other cars are like yours, but the trucks that are hauling freight at competitive rates that are a lot bigger than you, if you ever get in an accident with them, they'll survive. Even they get injured, truck drivers, but your chances are not going to be very good. So when you make a choice to use Amtrak, I think some people are going to reconsider that choice. And I wish the government would simply stop interfering with the market economy. And that's what they're doing. Get out of the transportation business. You see, I recommend that at least 8 to 10 departments be closed. And one of the departments that should be closed is the Department of Transportation. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I need to get off the Amtrak story. However, I want to close with my prayers go out to the families and loved ones that lost someone in that crash, as well as those that were seriously injured, because that truly should be the focus of the story. What can we do to prevent that in the future? I think what we could do to prevent it in the future is sell off Amtrak, privatize it, and let a private company run it, and then they have the accountability, and it's in their interest to run a safe, secure, quality, and price-sensitive service. Now, I want to briefly make some comments, and I was going to have some clips, but because I asked, usually the studio is open to 6, sometimes even later. Tonight, unfortunately, is closing in about 8 minutes, in other words, 5 o'clock. So I didn't have time, and I wanted to, because they're not long clips, but I have them on my show notes. And for those that are first-time listeners to the show, the way you listen to the show is go to the pronkpops.wordpress.com site. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll see a photograph of me in the studio, and right below it, links to the most recent 60 to 80 shows. But below that, you'll have the material, some of the material I looked at in preparing for this show. And those usually are YouTube videos, articles, charts, photographs, cartoons, whatever is appropriate. And what I'm commenting about, and I have the two clips, and at the very top of this, of my notes, after the quotation, and I urge you, I'll read the quotation towards the end of this segment, but President Obama went to Georgetown University, that's in Washington, D.C. The subject was poverty in America. Now, that's a big subject, and if it were a longer show, I'd give some more comments on it. But what got a lot of people's attention, and really, I don't think Obama understands this. As a matter of fact, I know he doesn't understand it, was his comment. He used the phrase, society's lottery winners. Now, who he was referring to? The rich. I mean, the really rich. The top 1%. Let's put it in those terms. But I think what he was thinking about are the hedge fund managers. Now, I was in the investment area, and I was approached by a couple of people to get in the hedge fund business a long time ago. And I'll be honest, I think I made a mistake not taking an up on it. I might reverse that decision. But you can make a lot of money if you run a hedge fund, but you can lose a lot of money. You're paid for your performance, and they charge their customers a lot of money. And there's a reason for that. The customers are expecting results. They're very much results-oriented. Does that mean the investors or the customers are always going to win? No. There are many hedge fund managers that have gone out of business. Now, we tend to hear the success stories, and many of these hedge fund managers have made in 1 year $1 billion. What you don't hear about is the ones that have lost $1 billion or no longer exist. In other words, the stories you hear about are the success stories, the survivors. Now, Obama said they were, you know, referred to them as society's lottery winners. But here's where I take exception to this, and I don't think he's aware how insulting that phrase is. When you start a small business, you're risking your own money as well as you're spending a lot of time to try to make that business successful, grow. And it takes time. It takes time, money, and a lot of effort. It's not like buying a lottery ticket and you either know the next day or next week whether you've won or lost. A lot of hard work, a lot of effort, a lot of money and risk go into starting a business and making it successful. So he is insulting every business owner that I can think of, especially small businesses, when he says society's lottery winners. And that includes hedge fund managers. Because many of those people fail, and they fail massively. Yes, a few succeed, and they succeed massively, but here's the difference between them and the government. They're paid for results, and if they don't deliver the results, they're out of business or they lose investors, and that is a simple fact. Now, there's something else that he said that also really annoys me. And he does this because I think, deep down, we have a Marxist-Leninist president. He won't say that. He won't admit it. But that's what he's about. If you prefer, he calls himself a progressive. He's a wealth redistributor. He wants to use the government to take people's money and have the government spend it on what he thinks is best. And that's his biggest problem. It's not his money to take. He's using government to steal money from other people. Because I'll tell you something. What businesses do is reinvest their money. Talk to any small, medium-sized business. What do they do if they have a successful year? They expand it. And then they expand it. And if they're good at it, they grow and they have chains. Microsoft, I'll use that as an example. There was a two-man company. Now it employs 80 to 90,000 people. But initially, it was high risk. And a lot of it is there's a certain amount of luck to it, but most of it is hard work. And those that know how to do that are rewarded. You have to take risks to get the reward. And that's the point. It's work and risk. And my reaction to Obama is, if you wanted to be wealthy, then why did you go to law school? Why didn't you open a business instead of being an agitator? And that's what he was, an agitator in Chicago, really shaking down businesses. That's what a community organizer is. He's an outside agitator. He's trying to shake down businesses for money. And he resents the fact that, A, he can't do it, and he can't, because if he could, he would, and he can't. And these people are successful. And now he resents the fact that they're wealthy. Now, there's one thing, and I have to wrap it up. I have less than a minute to wrap this up. He made a point that the top 15 hedge fund managers make more money than all the kindergarten teachers in the United States. That's probably true. I'm sure somebody did the research. But what did he tell you? The top 10-15 hedge fund managers paid more taxes than any, probably all the school teachers in the United States. Why? Because they do. The top 1% pays nearly 40% of all taxes. And the hedge fund managers, especially the top 15, are in the top 1%. And they pay 38% or above in personal income taxes. Now, let me tell you something. The bottom 50%, and I think that includes kindergarten teachers, paid less than 3% of the taxes. So you can't just look at the incomes. You got to look at the taxes. And why is that important? It is the taxes that pay for this government. I'm tired of talk show hosts saying, well, the government will pay for it. No. The American people paid for it, especially the successful people. And they pay a lot in taxes. And I have that information. Now, I'm going to have to cut the show off because it is 5 o'clock. And someone wants to leave. But I wish you all a good summer vacation. If you're going on vacation, if you're going to summer school, do that. And if you're looking for your first job, I wish you success in it. I hope to be back. I definitely will be back after Memorial Day. I'm going to see what arrangements can be made so I can give several shows between then. Otherwise, I'm going to take a roughly two-week vacation. So I wish you all well. I hope you've enjoyed listening to today's show, and I hope you'll be back listening when I return after Memorial Day. And with that, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.